Church of Christ Church.
Presta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on 990 WDEO.
Radio for Catholic and other Christians. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Welcome to Mass Appeal, the live show on Catholic Radio, where you can receive free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast, your hostess today. Looking forward to your calls, I think. Oh, yes, I can hardly wait to hear from you. Your calls drive the show. I've been hearing from you all night, your emails, your messaging, like, oh, what are we going to do about this? Okay, give me a call now. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. My background is in family life education. And you can learn more about my work at sexrespect.com, where you can read that I've written books called Sex Respect and Love and Life and the new growing up programs I can present that we are frantically trying to get ready to serve the great need of the church for parents educating their children, their preteens, and their teens about the truth and meaning of human sexuality. And so those are on the dock this summer. We should have them ready for the World Meeting of Families videos and books and leaders' guides for every parish so that a facilitator in the parish can properly help parents have these conversations with their children through the video discussion programs that they can put on right there. So that's in the works. We're working hard on those in between shows. And then we've got these issues coming in, the elephant in the room. And as I said, I've been getting emails and messages and all sorts of, you know, Facebook messages from all of you about this elephant in the room. It would have been nice today to talk about the flooding in the Midwest or some touching stories of Father's Day or things that I had prepared originally. But the Supreme Court decision yesterday, with that attempt to change the meaning of marriage, we're figuring out how can we understand this. Well, we can't because it's not logical. Or how we can explain this. We can't because of science and natural law. So I was thinking about what Archbishop Cardoleone said last year about legislating homosexual marriage is similar to legislating breastfeeding. So I thought about that a while and tried to help myself understand the logic or illogic behind it. But even if that's not disturbing your peace today, I invite your calls. You might have a personal problem that is bothering you, has come up just recently, or come up that's been brewing for a long time. It has nothing to do with what's going on in the world right now or in the culture, because it's hurting you. And that's what I'm here for. What would be your personal problem? How can I help you today with whatever you might be struggling? The number to get on today's show, Mass Appeal, with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith, is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. It might be a problem in your own marriage because you're struggling with marriage. If everyone's confused about what marriage means, how are we going to uphold our own marriages? Maybe struggling with a child, disobedience or dishonesty, or they're fighting with their siblings all the time, or they're disorganized and can't get their summer together and they need some virtues to grow in. You can call in about that as well. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825-877-5-PEP-TALK. So often I like to talk about the readings in the last 2 days. Abraham and Sarah were laughing at God about having a baby in their 90s and hundreds. It's funny, but it is anatomically possible. But two men or two women having a baby is really nothing to laugh about because this defies science and logic and nature. And people in our culture are so confused. And the bishops say this is a tragic error because it reflects the culture of death. So sodomy and acting out, anti-life acts is really nothing to celebrate. So do men have a right to breastfeed? Well, this is a science lesson, not a moral dilemma or a political dilemma. It's not a question that's answered by politics if men have a right to breastfeed. You might think that's a silly question, since breastfeeding requires a certain anatomy, doesn't it? In order to breastfeed, a person must have breasts with mammary glands and milk ducts that can release milk to the nursing baby. That anatomy only goes with the genetic structure of the female person. Male and female, he created them. So a relationship between a mother and a baby or a woman and a baby is different than a man and a baby. A relationship between a man and a baby is different because of his anatomy. So even though a father can love his baby very much, that love of a father for his baby can never include breastfeeding because of the anatomy. So, if I had been on the Supreme Court, I would just try to teach them a science lesson, not any political lesson or a moral dilemma. I have a master's degree in health education, a minor in science. I studied anatomy and physiology many times and applied that to many of the issues of the day. So, do two persons of the same sex have a right to marriage? Well, they can try, but marriage requires a certain anatomy. Actually, marriage requires two certain anatomies, male and female, in order to unite. So two reproductive systems of the same sex cannot really unite with each other. We learn that in anatomy. Someone might try to make an attempt to force reproductive organs into the digestive system openings, but that's not a union. Anyone who's ever built a puzzle or played with Legos know what a union of two pieces means. It means they are made to go together. So sexual organs are designed to be united with those of the opposite sex. The male and female anatomical union, the conjugal marriage act, expresses a giving and receiving that's not present in the attempted union of any other body parts or any other body systems. That's why I say it's a science question. But relationships are important. You know, each and every human relationship, no matter how deep the love is, it doesn't always have to be sexualized. That's one of the problems today. For example, a very deep family love should not always be sexualized. You know, the love of a father for his child shouldn't be sexualized. You know, we'd call that rape or incest because those are violations of human dignity. So every relationship should not be sexualized or should not culminate in seeking sexual pleasure with a person. But that's not to deny the dignity of all human persons. The church acknowledges the respect and dignity due to each person. And persons who have a homosexual orientation and have attractions to the same sex are most often very sensitive people, capable of deep love and good friendships. But that does not mean that their relationship should be sexualized. So to maintain a level of holy and healthy friendship, relationships of the same sex should always be abstinent and chaste, because you can't pretend to perform the marriage act when bodies are not anatomically capable of doing that. So a same-sex relationship that's sexualized is more like forcing a union that does not exist. No legislation can make that union exist when the physical anatomy and body chemistry show it to be impossible. And sharing sexual pleasure does not equate to love. Sharing sexual pleasure does not equate to marriage. And Christians and right-wing politicians did not invent marriage. Marriage is written within the human body and the human heart, the union of male and female, which can generate new human life through the reception of the gift of the other. And these organs are part of a whole person. They're not just something in a science lab. They're connected to a mind and a heart that reflect what it means to be a total gift of one life to each other, giving and receiving. So pretending that a marriage or a sexual union can exist between two persons of the same sex is contrary to anatomical science and the chemistry of sexual bonding. Nor can we pretend that the mutual sexual pleasuring that some people engage in is designed to generate love or generate life. The love of friendship is different, a different kind of love than the sexual love that's designed to generate human life. The love of friendship is valuable and good, no doubt, but to seek pleasure for the sake of pleasure does not achieve the same good when a person is actually seeking true love and fulfillment. Pleasure seeking is actually a substitute for the true love a person longs for. And that is rooted right within the human person. So you've been asking me, how do I explain this to my child? He was watching the news. Well, depends on what age the child might be. So I woke up praying to God, how do we explain this to our children? How do I answer these emails? Well, give me a call with your question or personal problem, but I'll try to give you an analogy to help you do that. For if your child is about between the ages of 12 and 17, try this. It's going to be a messy experiment, but it could be fun. Okay, take a jar of pickles out of the refrigerator, or olives, or something that would break and be messy. Okay, take a jar of pickles out of the refrigerator, jar of olives out of the refrigerator, and drop it on the concrete sidewalk. Watch it break. And explain the law of gravity. Just say, you know the law of gravity, you studied it. Something in motion, unless you stop it, is going to stay in motion. Something that's going to stop it, like the concrete sidewalk, reminds us that there's a law of gravity we cannot deny, right? So you take the jar of pickles out of the refrigerator, drop it on the concrete sidewalk, watch it break, and explain the law of gravity. Now, you can't explain too. People can interfere if they want to. Someone can catch the jar. You can put a bunch of pillows on the sidewalk to soften the blow. But you can't change the law of gravity, right? So if you drop a full glass jar on the concrete sidewalk, you have a mess to clean up due to the breakage. Okay, marriage requires a man and a woman. That's a natural law. Only a man and a woman can create a family. Each child has a natural right to one mother and one father. Now, people can try to interfere, just like we can try to catch the pickles or soften the blow. But the natural law is the basis of marriage. You cannot change the natural law. So somebody trying to defy the law might create some messes that need to be cleaned up. So if the government made a law that said you were allowed to drop glass jars onto the sidewalk, they could do that. You couldn't stop them. You couldn't stop people from dropping glass jars onto the sidewalk, but it would create a lot of messes. And that's why we have laws about littering and recycling and cleanliness to keep our streets clean. There are countries that don't have those laws, and they are dirty and filthy. So both structure and function are laws of science. And some are designed by smart people, too. For example, here's one you could teach to a younger child, maybe from the age of reason, you know, age 7 to about age 12. Take him into the kitchen and show him this. Say, tables and chairs go together. They match our anatomy and make eating or writing or doing our homework more comfortable. You sit on the chair and you eat or work at the table, right? That matches the way you were made. So a younger child would understand that. They like tables and chairs that are their size. Or they like sitting at a chair because they can barely reach the table when they're standing up. Okay, so what if the largest furniture store in the country said they would only sell chairs and no longer sell tables? Or you could do this. You could try having your next meal on only chairs. You sit on a chair and then put your food on the chair. Or have them do their homework or working with Play-Doh, sitting on a chair and using the chair as a table. Now, they might laugh. Actually, it might work for a while. Or what if you told them, chairs are now tables? Then they'd laugh. They'd say, Mommy, chairs are not tables. And you could say to them, what if the government passed a law that said chairs are now tables? That would be silly, wouldn't it? Yeah, chairs aren't tables, Mommy. Well, it might be fun for a little while to use only chairs and use your chair for a table. Or use only tables and sit on tables and eat on tables, the table next to it. Or try for a few days and see how it goes with your family. But eventually someone would say, this is not working. Tables and chairs go together. It makes sense. Chairs fit under the table so we can sit up straight. We can be comfortable. When you're sitting at a table in a chair that fits you right, it fits your anatomy right, we have less chance of spilling and making a mess. Yeah, it was fun for a while, but tables and chairs really go together. We can't have only tables or only chairs. But what if this furniture store made a law that said they would only sell chairs? They could do that if they wanted to. But what would happen? They'd probably go out of business because people need tables and chairs that fit our anatomy, and that's why we buy tables and chairs. So marriages need a man and a woman, or families. No, I'm sorry. Marriage need a man or a woman, or families will go out of business. That's what I wrote. Family is naturally a man and a woman who get married and have children. So if marriage is only two men or two women, the whole world will go out of business. A child could understand that. Or you could try another one. If the tables and chairs thing doesn't work, take your child into the bedroom and show them how dressers need the drawers. And see if they would go for a week with only dressers and no drawers in them. Or only drawers and no dressers. They could do it, and you could make a law that says you can have dressers without drawers. You know what would happen? You'd have to stack up the clothes, you know, properly and neatly each day inside a dresser that was empty of drawers. So it'd be kind of a messy stack. Or maybe you could set drawers out without a dresser and move the drawers around the room or stack the drawers or put them all over the floor so you could use them, but that would be messy too because dressers and drawers go together. That's their anatomy. And if a store made a law that says they're only going to sell drawers and no longer sell dressers and only drawers or just sell one or the other, they'd probably go out of business too. So how do we explain a decision that's not logical, not scientific, doesn't follow the laws of nature? Try saying, I'm confused about it too. It just doesn't make sense because we know how we were made and we know what families are. Just like dressers and drawers go together and tables and chairs go together. Man and woman go together for a certain purpose, a certain function, and it's not just about anatomy. It's more than that. It's about the whole person. Their feelings, their emotions, their thoughts, their minds, the family, the child that comes of that family. So it might be confusing, but maybe those are some analogies that would help us. So give me a call today with your question or personal problem about anything. It might be something hopefully simpler than that, but that's what I was getting emails and messages about tonight. How do we explain this to our children? So give me a call today. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. I see if you've got a question about a live-in arrangement with a controlling woman. Oh, my goodness, that happens more often than you'd think. So let's go to our break, and we'll be back with our call from Pennsylvania and our call from you. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective in just a moment.
If you want to use your gifts and talent to support women and the unborn, contact the Arbor Women Pregnancy Center to volunteer. Arbor Women needs pro-life people to support, nurture, and empower women facing unexpected pregnancies. Arbor Women are in need of nurses and sonographers with a current Michigan license, as well as pregnancy and post-abortion counselors. Call the volunteer coordinator at 734-994-8863. That's 734-994-8863 to learn how you can help.
Here's a Family Minute with child psychologist Dr. Ray Guarendi from Ave Maria Radio.
Does your little Brutus self-assault? What is self-assault anyway? It's a benign form, a more normal form, if you will, of self-abuse. We can't talk self-abuse in this short time together. Let's focus on the much more common childhood tendency to hit oneself, or smack oneself, or bite oneself, or throw oneself down, or pinch oneself, or pull one's hair, generally in response to frustration, generally in response to a parent who will not allow a child to do what he or she wants. For the most part, self-assault is not a problem. It is a child essentially saying to you, unspoken, I'm so angry or upset or disappointed at what you are making me do or not do that I'm going to turn it on myself. Is it psychological? The vast majority of time it is not. It's a frustration response. I remember one time when I was 4, I threw a toy against the wall. My mother said, Raymond, pick your toy up. I said, no, you pick it up. And then I turned and started smacking my head against the cinder block wall. Not a bright child. My mother started walking towards me. I knew I had her, or so I thought. She was reaching for my head, going, here, let me help you. I immediately decided that headbutting was not all it was cracked up to be. What I am saying is that most self-assault is born of frustration. If you ignore it or don't respond to it, it generally goes away. At times, little Lavina might bite her finger hard enough to leave a trickle of blood. Sure, you can get a Kleenex, you can dab it up. But for the most part, don't worry about self-assault. It's just the child deciding, I'm going to take it out on me rather than you or the defenseless house. And that's not real smart, and kids generally pick up on that pretty quickly. I'm Dr. Ray.
Good morning. Happy Saturday. Welcome to Mass Appeal, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Yep, today I was going to talk about some clever things I saw in the paper, but maybe we'll cover those later. We've got callers on the line. 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our first caller, as I said, from Pennsylvania. Your brother's in with a controlling woman. Welcome to the show, Anonymous. How can I help you today?
Hi, Colleen. A few years ago, I called you about this relationship that my brother had. They now have two kids together, ages 11 and 7. And I did what you said, you know, basically love my brother the way I always have, and that he would see the difference between the way I treat him and the way she treats him.
Mm-hmm.
And
did he see it?
Yeah, he saw it, but unfortunately, she's got bigger fangs than I thought.
Well, there's a chemistry there, too. If they're living together, there's an oxytocin hormone that is bonding them together that leads them to believe the relationship is deeper than it actually is. So you've got chemistry against you there.
Yeah, you got it. And it's gotten to the point where she's actually gotten my brother to turn against me and demand I give her respect when she's abusive towards me.
Mm-hmm.
And my thought was, respect is earned. It's not an entitlement. And it's interesting because I just have to tell you, I had a locution a month ago that is so apropos to what we just experienced yesterday, and I'll read it slowly. A quote-unquote marriage that isn't a true sacrament because of narcissism, etc., is just civilly licensed fornication.
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is that you and I both know that any time that somebody engages in mortal sin, you know, they're endangering their eternity. And the thing that is so upsetting with me in this situation with my brother is that my niece, who looks, she's my clone, she looks just like me, and her mother's
Oh, my.
Yeah, I mean, put the pictures of us together and you can't tell them apart. And so she's, and I've noticed that she's taking out her frustration with my pursuit of virtue against her daughter, and her daughter is my goddaughter. I mean, I pray for her every day.
Mm-hmm.
But she's gotten to the point where I really wonder if she's actually going to let my niece receive the sacraments, because she's supposed to receive First Communion next year. So I just need some suggestions. I know you've been around the block a lot of times.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so you've tried the nice approach with your brother. He still remains in this controlling relationship, and he is not disturbed by it?
Oh, he's disturbed by it, but I think he has...
He's trapped in it, would you say?
Yeah. Yeah, like most controllers, she's gotten into... Years ago, I told my sons, don't ever let a woman treat you like a hunk of meat in a wallet, because first they'll try to get into your pants, and then they get into your finances.
Oh, my goodness. That seems pretty direct. And he didn't catch the message yet. Okay.
That's exactly what she's done. She takes care of all of his business finances. So, you know, she could send him down the cesspool in no time flat.
Wow. Well, how often do you see your brother and talk to him?
We used to talk every week, and now it's kind of rare. I get his voicemail, and I
straying away because he knows that he's going. He knows he's going down the wrong path. Don't you think he knows that in his heart? He knows that what you said is right. He knows he's being controlled by her. He knows he's living with a narcissist or a controlling person. Do you believe he's really aware of that, but he doesn't know how to get out of it?
Yeah.
Okay. What you might want to offer, because you aren't talking to him as much anymore, cause if he's not comfortable around you because he knows he's doing something wrong, he's caught up in it, doesn't know how to get out, just offer him help. Just acknowledge how you see the situation. Just say, I see you as kind of trapped in this situation. I hope you find a way out. Here are some options if you're interested, you know, and you can find a counselor. You can find a YouTube site, little movies about narcissism and controlling relationships, and say, watch these and see if you think you need help. And here are some people, some, you know, local counselors and therapists that can help you see that more clearly. There's nothing more I can do except pray for you and pray for you that you see the truth and then try to live it. So do your best praying, but let him know that there's help available and where it is. And hopefully the Holy Spirit will tap into some moment of desperation where he seeks the help that he needs. So thanks for the call. We'll be back with more of Masked Appeal after this message.
You might have seen a copy of the Michigan Catholic newspaper sitting in the back of your church. But have you picked one up lately? If so, you'll find we're not only Catholic news you can trust, but Catholic news you can use. Find out where your favorite priest is being assigned, read our popular Q&A columns, and learn more about your faith by reading the Michigan Catholic. Talk to your pastor or call 313-224-8000 or visit themichigancatholic.com.
The Ave Maria Communications Guild invites you to activate your faith. All ladies are invited to the Women of Grace Retreat Weekend beginning Friday, July 17th in Orchard Lake. Jeanette Venkovic, Father Philip Scott, and Dr. Monica Miller will be leading this retreat with the theme, My Grace is Sufficient for You, Woman in God's Divine Plan. To register, visit womenofgrace.org or call 1-800-558-5452. Join Couple to Couple League International in celebrating Natural Family Planning Week, July 19th through the 26th. Events include a talk at St. Anastasia's in Troy on Thursday, July 23rd, and a family picnic at the VFW Park in Royal Oak, Sunday, July 26th. For more information, call 313-451-4NFP. You can find many more events and enter your own events at our website, AveMariaRadio.net. To become a member of the Guild, call 877-288-1077.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Masked Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. It might be a problem that you have of your own that you've been dealing with or struggling with, or it might be, as our last caller, being concerned for someone else. Christians should be concerned when their relatives are, you know, misused and confused, like our first caller's brother, you know, because Scripture tells us to go to your brother in secret and tell him the truth, and if he doesn't listen, bring someone else. And we have that bad example of Cain that says when God asked him, you know, where's your brother? Well, am I my brother's keeper? Well, you are. We really are here as Christians to help one another see the truth, live the truth, know the truth, and pray that the truth is lived in their lives and help them out of the dilemmas that they're in. So it is a concern that we have for our children, our nieces and nephews that are confused about life or misused or misusing, you know, their life for others. Okay, our next caller is John from New York. Welcome to the show, John. How can I help you today? John on line 3, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I called earlier one other time to your show. I really enjoy it.
Okay.
And I'm basically watching what's going on with my beautiful country, which I've enjoyed for 52 years now. And I'm not really concerned with myself because I'm in the twilight of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But I have two young adopted children. I have a 5-year-old son and a 5-month-old little daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just in fear with the United States they're going to inherit.
Mm-hmm.
And society is degraded so down, so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part is you vote, you try to be politically astute, and you elect people, and you get them in there, and it's like I'm living in an altered universe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not the one you grew up in, huh?
Oh, God forbid. And I guess the best way I could sum it up is the older I get, the smarter my father was. He used to tell me things when I just got out of college. And here he was, he had a GED at age 50, he got it. He was a factory worker at an auto plant. And he used to spew some of his wisdom to me. I thought the man was losing his mind. And he told me at the time, I'll be a long time pushing up daisies, you'll be repeating a story. And there's things he told me back in the early to mid 80s, I swear to God, the man was prophetic. They've all come to pass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm
you're
just
right.
I scratch my wooden head thinking, my poor children. Mates, and also, my wife's a decade younger than me, and she kind of disagrees with me. She's more of a get along, go along to get along, where me, I see something aberrant and I call it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it is important that we use our brains to discern the truth, and that's why we form our consciences. But congratulations, John, on having a 5-year-old and a 5-month-old, and because children are hope that the world will go on, but they have to be formed and trained well so the world will go on in a good way, in a Christian way, that all the efforts that Christians have made throughout the last couple, throughout the centuries, actually, the last couple of millennia, of bringing Christianity and civilization back to the country, we see times where it seems like something is a step backward, like the dignity of the human person is destroyed in abortion, and, you know, society keeps degrading the dignity of the human person or taking things out of context and making life as a Christian more and more difficult. But it's hard, John, to listen to those words of the scriptures, be not afraid, the words of Pope John Paul II, be not afraid for our children, because the world is different than the happy place you maybe grew up in, the father knows best and the leave it to beaver, and the times where right and wrong weren't confused. And so one important thing you can do is to have a good family life. Love your wife. Love your children. Show them what real love is so that when they see what's confusing or degrading, they'll know in their hearts that that isn't right, that that isn't good. So your love is the first step. But then as they grow, you share that wisdom with them and help share that with your wife as well so they can see the logic and the truth of the gospel. You know, even reading the Gospel of Life that Pope John Paul II wrote, or the Splendor of Truth, 2 encyclicals that he wrote that help us see how the truth is part of humanity, and that it's revealed in us and through us because we are all made in the image and likeness of God, whether or not we want to acknowledge it. So love them, take care of them, and teach them well the truths of the dignity of the human person in any way that you can, and make sure that they go to the schools that help them do that and have that love in their family. And then know that the world is out of our control. When we think of places in the world where Christians are persecuted for living their faith. Cardinal George had said that that might be happening in this country a couple generations from now. So be prepared to be strong. Maybe prepare them to be martyrs. Prepare them to love God. Read those stories from the Bible, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and that were tossed in the furnace, you know, the burning fire, and Daniel in the lion's den, and how God rescued him. They need great heroes in their minds. They need those stories of great heroes and great martyrs in their mind, whether it's, you know, Joan of Arc or St. Lawrence. They, you know, fill them with that, you know, adventure and excitement of following God, even when times seem to be difficult, or even when the rulers and the kings are against it. So those are some things you can do. So love them, train them, teach them, love them, to teach them to love God above all things, John, and you'll do what you can do. Thanks for the call.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I try to be optimistic because I'm a glass half full, not a half empty type guy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard, and I'm just praying to God that I'm beside myself, needless to say.
It's difficult to understand. So I can understand why you'd be beside yourself, you know, with this whole what's going on in the country. The Fortnight for Freedom is something coming up here that the bishops sponsor, and many Respect Life offices sponsor it, based on not the decision this week, but decisions that were made last year that are taking away some religious freedoms of business owners. And so, you know, keep working and doing what we can do to see that we have religious freedom here in this country, and see that those, you know, making decisions are making those in light of the truth and dignity of the human person. That's the best we can do. Thanks for your concern, John. God bless you. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning show on Catholic Radio, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. And the Catholic perspective is that we recognize and respect the dignity of every human person, no matter what may be their sexual orientation, no matter what may be their age, no matter what may be their mental condition, no matter what may be their health condition. We respect the dignity of each and every human person that is made in the image and likeness of God. And so our Catholic teachings are based on that, to help people live the truth, know the truth, love the truth, and spread the truth. So give me a call with your personal problem or question as you're trying to live out your faith in today's confused world. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Have you heard about the peddling priest, a 60-year-old clergyman who is bicycling 3,600 miles across the United States? Hi, this is Peggy Stanton. Join me on Power from the Pews when Father John Hilton joins us from the road and reveals why he has undertaken this remarkable journey. That's this Saturday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, the sacrament or mystery of holy matrimony in the Byzantine spirituality is not so much a covenant between a couple as it is an entrance of the couple into the life of the Trinity and of the Church.
Saturday evenings at 8:30 and Sunday mornings at 9 on 990 WDEO, Ave Maria Radio.
Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. C.S. Lewis famously wrote that we are secret agents behind enemy lines. It's true. This world is under hostile rule, and its prince is in full-scale rebellion against our Father in Heaven, with a mission to take as many souls with him as possible. Our mission, should we choose to accept it, is to raid and poach in Satan's territory and rescue souls out from under him. We should not be surprised or dismayed at opposition. Of course Satan will work to stop us, but we have a clear promise that we are equipped and commissioned to do the job. We are called to attack the kingdom of the world and rescue souls in bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and bring them to our Father's heavenly kingdom. Are you ready?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Welcome back to Mass Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. I was over the break thinking of another truth that was revealed that was not accepted well back in 1968 when Pope Paul VI said you can't separate the love-giving and the life-giving properties of the Marriage Act because the sexual powers are designed to unite male and female to bring new life into the world, and that's the nature of those powers. And he said, if you try to separate love giving and life giving, then you have confused the whole purpose of those powers themselves, and people might misinterpret that and take that wrong, because we don't take pleasure for its own sake. That pleasure is the gift, actually, not the goal of that union. So it's not the only time in history that people have misunderstood what we're made for and how our bodies are made and how the male and female relationship is naturally designed to work. Okay, our next caller is Robert from Montana. Welcome to the show, Robert. How can I help you today?
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
I must say hello. This is Colleen, right?
Yes.
I must say I find your program most intriguing this morning. I am Catholic. I'm 64, but I have been waiting for this decision for 46 years, and it's really interesting. It seems to me that we need to have more of a dialogue on this topic.
Okay.
And I think that's critical.
Right.
We have a priest here in Butte, Father Patrick Beretta. He's incredible. We differ a bit politically, but I think he is incredible. And I don't categorize him, but I think this is a real interesting shift. And I find it, I think there are a lot of positives. Like the gentleman before me, he's very worried about this country. And I'm thinking, I was watching the funeral yesterday in Charleston, South Carolina. And the grace down there was incredible, just incredible. And that's what we're capable of doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to pursue that.
Right. A dialogue is important, especially with the Church's compassion for people who, for example, if their mental orientation doesn't match their anatomy, there is a need for understanding, for compassion, for respect for the dignity of the human person, no matter what their orientation is. And certainly the Church does not deny that at all. But the Church says, too, you can't change the definition of marriage if it's rooted in something anatomical and in natural law, because then it's confusing children right now, and it's confusing people. But you're right, I totally agree with you on the dialogue. You know, the Catholics see each person as made in the image of God and the dignity of God, why people are concerned is the confusion that is trying to, as an earlier caller said regarding her brother that was living with someone, you know, civilly licensed fornication. You know, what do we believe in as a culture? You know, what are we trying to say? So I'm glad that you're talking to a priest that is helping you think through that, and I'm glad that you called, because it does open our minds to discover this understanding of how do we truly help one another live what we know to be the truth about the human person. So thanks for the call, Robert.
Dean, you have a wonderful day.
You too. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The next caller is Jerry from Washington. Welcome to the show, Jerry. How can I help you today?
Hello, young lady. How are you today?
Hello, Jerry. How are you?
I'm very blessed. I got a lot of questions, though.
Okay, we'll start with one because we have a break in a few minutes, so we'll try the first question. How's that?
Okay. Number one, I'm not a cradle Catholic. My mother is a cradle Catholic, and I came back to the church. I'm a convert.
Well, welcome.
And I'm new to Columbus.
Oh, good.
I still have an issue with the fact that back in the day, I gave money for an abortion. I've gone to Rachel's Vineyard. I still can't get over it.
Mm-hmm.
Any ideas for me?
Yes, yes. Actually, someone emailed me, a woman emailed me a couple weeks ago about the same problem. Somebody called in about that recently as well. If you have already gone to Project Rachel, which is the structure that the church offers for people to find reconciliation with God with an abortion in their past, and you've been to confession for it, know that God has forgiven you. And sometimes it's a matter of us as a human being really willing to accept His mercy and His forgiveness for our sin. Know that God has forgiven you. And He probably has forgotten about it, except that you want to do, as a human person, repair your relationship with God. You're trying to think, well, what can I do to make a difference? Well, that forgiveness is not dependent on what you do. But as a human person, we want to do something to repair the relationship. If you broke your neighbor's window, you'd want to at least pay to have it repaired or replace the window and repair that relationship, wouldn't you, Jerry? And so if you broke your relationship with God by paying for an abortion a long time ago, you're probably thinking, one, have I forgiven myself for that? Because I know God has forgiven me. And two, what can I do to repair that? So reparation is part of our human end of the forgiveness. Not God, then. He gives forgiveness freely. But we ourselves, to repair our own self and our own dignity and to repair that relationship, we want to do something about it. So sometimes people, in order to do reparation for some sins of their past, many of the people get involved in something that helps respect the dignity of the human person. And it might be helping out, you know, bringing food to the Project Rachel retreats or something that is pro-life or writing letters, something that matches with your personality. Something that matches with your, you know, economic status, your social status. What can you do to help repair some of the damage that's been done by that? And that isn't going to change that God has already forgiven you, because He has. But it will help you as a human person to psychologically change that terrain in your brain that said, I accepted that at one point, and now I'm doing everything I can to change that. So do what you can do, whether it's politically or socially or financially or personally, to work in the pro-life movement. And know that God has forgiven you, and you're doing all that you can to help others not to make that same decision you did in the past. Okay, Jerry?
Thank you, young lady. You just made my life a little bit better.
Good. God bless you, Jerry.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye-bye. This is Colleen.
Bye.
Okay. Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. We're going to our break now, and we'll be right back after this message.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To celebrate the 56th wedding anniversary of Carolyn and Ron Kologi, parents of 5 girls and grandparents to 11 wonderful grandchildren, 9 of whom are boys. God's got a great sense of humor. Congratulations, Carolyn and Ron. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. The celebration of our nation's independence is an important moment to reflect on the blessings of God, the meaning of freedom, and the task to expand the blessings of freedom to our unborn brothers and sisters who are still enslaved by our nation's abortion policies. That's why Priests for Life begins today a special novena of prayer for our nation in preparation for Independence Day. You can download the prayer at priestsforlife.org. The prayer reminds us that our founding fathers took inspiration from the gospel in founding this nation, and that our task is to secure liberty and justice, not just for some, but for all, including the unborn. please visit priestsforlife.org, download the Independence Day Novena, and invite your family, pro-life groups, schools, and parishes to take part in it.
This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
Summertime is the time for church festivals, carnivals, and celebrations, and Ave Maria Radio needs volunteers to staff our tables at these all-day events. Would you be able to help? Generally, the job takes a commitment of time, travel, and enthusiasm for the cause of Catholic Radio. You get a chance to answer people's questions and take part in the fun. If you think you might be interested, call 877-288-1077 or go to volunteer at avemariaradio.net.
Where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, and you can get on right now actually, is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. At the top of the second hour coming up, we usually take youth calls, so if there are any young people out there of school age or young adult age want to call in, you get first in line here. I did get one email question that I can answer, but if you have a live foot, call in, whether you're 7 years old or 17 years old or maybe even 27 years old. We respect your dignity and your young age, and that some of the older people are a little more patient. So get on straight at the top of the hour. Plus, we had a few people hang up. Plus, I know lines were full half an hour ago, and you couldn't get through even if you were trying to call. But right now, all lines open, waiting to hear from you. So call us now with your question or personal problem, whether it's with a little person in your life, your 2-year-old, your 7-year-old, or your 97-year-old grandma that's starting to shrink, or with a larger person in your life, or a person that's controlling your life in a larger way. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, here to help you with your personal problems at 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Remember, as I told our last caller, whatever your sin might be, you know, Jesus died for that. Jesus died for all our sins. He wants us to confess our sins, to give them to Him. He wants to take the punishment for that so we don't punish ourselves. But we have to be sorry, get to confession, do the penance the priest gives us, and then try to make reparation for our sin. Try to repair the damage that was done. And as Jerry said, that makes your life a little bit better. Okay, also Robert from Montana called back in that we spoke before then. And he said, you were very professional and it was good talking to you. So thanks, Robert, for that compliment. It was good talking to you, too. The church is certainly open to dialogue and understanding so that we can all grow to understand the truth and live it without disrespecting the dignity of the human person. Okay, Mark from Oklahoma, welcome to the show. You're on the air now. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, I had a comment for the gentleman who paid for the abortion. I had supported a girl in high school, had an abortion. I was a little bit naive to the whole situation, so I don't struggle with it as much as other people do, but I would suggest maybe writing a letter to the fetus.
That just gave me the chills, Mark. Tell me about that.
It would help him reconcile with the fetus.
To the baby.
For me, with the baby. Since I didn't realize that she was having an abortion, when I did realize, I started to pray to God to help me to pray for the baby and have the baby pray for me, because it was a part of God's plan, and I encouraged the elimination of that plan.
Wow.
So if it might help him to reconcile, because I think for guys it's a little bit harder to express ourselves even in prayer, but if you write it down in a letter form, it might help.
Mm.
My question, though, that was just something I had heard. So
yeah, let me ponder that. That's a good idea. Write a letter to the baby, and that helps you and your relationship with the baby. Okay.
Yes, and it also helps you reconcile yourself with God, because you know now that was part of God's plan.
Yeah.
Have that child, and you encouraged otherwise.
Mm-hmm. I see. And you acknowledge the dignity of that person and the wrongness of your decision.
And then you ask that baby to pray for you, because if they're in God's perfect plan, they're with God now. So you have someone on the other, you know, on the other side that can pray for you.
Okay.
And help you make better decisions later.
Okay, and good idea. I hope Jerry's listening and took note on that.
Okay. Now, my question is in regards, I'm a lapsed Catholic, and I'm in a mixed marriage, and I've made a lot of decisions prior in all that that I struggle with my children. I have six children, and it's very difficult for me to incorporate any of my Catholicism to them, because when we were courting, I made the ignorant decision to say, you can be the spiritual guide for the children.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's never been open to the church, no matter if I give her literature or anything. So I just struggle with being able to live out being Catholic, because I get bombarded with the questions, and why can't I go with Daddy, and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I just automatically stopped going.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to Mass in several years.
Okay.
So, and I'm a Eucharistic Catholic, so I'm, like, starving.
Mm-hmm.
You can only imagine, like, the spiritual agony of not being able to receive the communion, to receive Jesus in his fullness. And that's my problem. I've tried Bible studies to maybe even possibly convert, but they just don't have the fullness. And then, you know, there's one thing after another that it's just like, no, I can't go with it.
Right, Mark. Well, God's calling you back. You know, it's time to get to confession and get back to Mass again. And if the small irritation of the child saying, why can't I go with Daddy, that might be a call from God as well. Maybe he wants them there. So you have to have a talk with your wife. And if she has a Christian basis and isn't going to church, tell her that, you know, use that same language. Like, the Holy Spirit is calling me. I can feel this call in my heart to get back to the church. I miss the Eucharist. I know it's the body and blood of Christ. And I want you, honey, to respect that in me. I didn't even respect that in me when we first got married, and that's why I lapsed. So let her know that you have had this change of heart due to God's grace moving in you. And congratulations on having six children in a mixed marriage. That, you've got some cooperation there. And so that's kind of a Catholic thing to do, Mark. And I can see why you want your children to experience the faith that you do. So have a talk with your wife and let her know what you're planning to do. Just say, I'm going to go to confession. I'm going to get back to Mass. I do not want to create any discord. So ask her for ideas on how you can make this mixed marriage harmonious without offending one another's call to serve God. And I think you'll be able to work that out by the grace of God. There will be some hurdles to jump, so give me a call back when you face those. We'll be back with more of Mass Appeal at the top of the hour after this.
Would you like a copy of this program? If you miss a part of this program or want to hear it again, Ave Maria programming can be made yours when you order. Just call 734-930-4506. Within a few weeks, you'll receive a copy of this show and any others you want to order on CD. Call 734-930-4506.
Fully Alive. Reflections on the scripture readings of today's Mass with Father Pat Egan, Chaplain of Ave Maria Radio.
This Sunday's readings are about decision-making. Decisions have consequences, and we have to live with them. We want to make our own decisions in freedom. And God wants us to choose freely, to freely choose to love him. And he lives with the consequences of our decisions. The crucifix teaches of the price Jesus paid for living with those decisions. The first reading challenges our need for security. The prophet Elisha decides to move into an unknown future. The second reading contrasts the false freedom of anything goes with the true freedom of loving others, especially the other that's God. And finally, the gospel challenges us to move beyond family loyalty into commitments beyond our own immediate family. And we're all called to make good, hard, tough decisions. It's not easy to leave one's childhood family to start a new one. It's not easy to remain married for life. We know of husbands or wives who failed. They were never able to leave father or mother to surrender to their partner. And when children come, our freedom is severely restricted. Many folks never realize that sacrifice is not just a nice idea, it's a fact of life. The question isn't whether we're willing to sacrifice, but how much we're willing to sacrifice. I'm never freer than when I'm doing God's will. Nor can I find greater happiness. Now next week, we'll celebrate our freedom to think on these things. I'm Father Pat Egan, chaplain of Ave Maria Radio, commenting on the readings read this Sunday at Mass. Remember, inspired by the Word of God, you can be more fully alive.
You remember the day you first laid eyes on her. They handed you the keys and you drove back home for everyone to admire. And although the memories have been made, it's time to pass the torch to someone else. Consider donating your vehicle to Ave Maria Radio. Even if it's not running, we'll take care of everything from pickup to your tax receipt. Just call 866-628-CARS to show you just how easy it is to donate. That's 866-628-CARS. And mention Ave Maria Radio. Catholic Radio in Metro Detroit. This is 990 WDEO, Ypsilanti, Detroit, or on the internet at WDEO.net.
Up here where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. In the top of the hour, no youth calls on there. I'll use my the question that I got. It was, but I also had a comment from somebody had called in and said that they think all of us should have had the chance to vote for marriage and not be stuck with a Supreme Court who doesn't represent the population accurately. That's an idea. However, look what happened in Ireland. And then look at our human nature. Due to original sin, humans seek pleasure over truth. That is our weakness now. We seek pleasure. We seek control. We seek, you know, attention. What if we had to vote for cheating on your taxes? Or what if we had to vote, should we allow junk food or not? Of course, we love junk food. You know? We know we shouldn't eat it, but we love it, you know. People will find every loophole they could, you know, to cheat on their taxes if they can. So if you voted on those things, I'm not sure the truth would win out. But it's an idea. It might be more fair, but due to original sin, I'm not sure the truth would always win. That's an idea, though. I think that the natural order of marriage would have won. But anyway, we'll go to our youth question. I got an email from somebody who said, I'm 24 years old. I used to listen to you and Dr. Ray on The Doctor Is In when I was a homeschooler, and now I just got married. Do you have any tips as we get started? Thanks, Bethany. Okay, Bethany, yeah, I do. So we'll start the top of the second hour with our young adult question of somebody that used to listen to us on Dr. A and myself on The Doctor Is In back when she was a homeschooler. She had said her mom used to turn it on their lunch hour. And so tips for newlyweds, actually tips for any weds would be good. So some ideas that do not take a lot of time, but they help your marriage. And you've heard me talk often on the show about a regular meeting, like an hour a week. You sit down and tell your spouse, you know, what you appreciated about them that week, what they did well, you know, what could have gone better in their marriage, how you can improve it. If your parents are ready, you can, you know, talk about what particular things your children need. So to have a weekly meeting is a good thing. What can I mean? And people I know have called back and say, how am I going to say that? But, you know, what can I do to make you feel more loved? What can I do to love you more this week? So that's an hour a week that should be a standard in every marriage. Well, another hour a week is not the problem-solving hour. This should be a date hour, Bethany, with your new husband. Because you dated to attract yourself to one another, to get to know one another better, and your life is going to get busy once you have kids and jobs and supporting the family and keeping the household together. So you have to take that weekly date. So that's when you talk about things that aren't necessarily problem solving, but 2 hours to enjoy one another, do something you like together, go out to dinner, or go for a hike, or play tennis, or some relationship building thing is better than a movie, unless you go to the movie and discuss the movie. You just need some one-on-one time, not a double date, not with all the neighbors and your friends, although that's fine occasionally, but this weekly date with one another, and asking each other open-ended questions so you know their dreams and their wishes and their hopes. Or, you know, even some of their struggles, like how's it going with your boss this week? Or, you know, where should we take our next vacation? You know, again, to make your dreams come alive. So that's two ideas. One, that weekly meeting I often recommend on the show. Another one would be a weekly date. Another thing is affection. So sometimes once people get married, they get in a trap that instead of just the regular affection they used to express for one another when they were dating, then they just think, well, we've got this one expression that renews the marriage vows and that should be fine. But remember that it's all that other affection that we show throughout the week and throughout the day, those embraces, the partings, the goodbye in the morning, the you know, goodbye kiss, or every time you leave, the embrace, the hug every night. So it's not only you getting a hug when it's that night. And so affection throughout the day, 7 days a week, you know, it only takes a couple of minutes a day. So affection would be a third one. So that weekly state of the marriage meeting, that weekly date to enjoy one another's company and keep dreaming, and then that daily affection would be, you know, three good things. Now, communication is another thing. Improving your communication skills would help that meeting each week, but we need those on a daily basis. You might find instead of yelling across the kitchen at each other, always to be in the same room or always be sitting down when you're speaking to one another, or find new ways to communicate, you know, appreciation for the person, or find out their love language and you know, through the Love Languages book, and find a way that you can communicate to them. If they're a person that loves to be admired or loves to get presents or loves you to just sit and spend time with them, even if they're doing something that you might not necessarily do. If you're sitting there reading a book while they're watching sports on TV, at least you're together if that's something that they like. So some time to communicate to them or learn how to communicate to them better on the level they like to communicate. So those are some of those tips for starting off your marriage. And then, of course, we would always want to be, and that would be number five then, to follow all those church teachings that show us what real love is. You know, certainly, and you're probably following the church teachings and, you know, the love-giving and the life-giving and the unity of marriage. But, you know, all the commandments of putting God first, you know, putting money in its place, making sure you get to Mass as often as possible, praying, respecting your own parents, teaching your kids how to respect you as parents, being honest, being truthful, you know, not gossiping, all those, following those commandments is another important thing, because that will help the two of you to grow in virtue. And really, what attracts us to one another is the virtues. We are attracted to God, ultimately, and we see the goodness of God in this person, and that's why we married them. We see the beauty of God, the honesty of God, the care of God, the mercy of God, the strength of God. We see these inner strengths in the person that we married. And because we see that, we see the beauty of God. And that's how the virtues are growing in us, by us living out that beauty of God. So keep growing in the virtues, follow the commandments, express affection to one another, have that weekly date and that weekly problem-solving meeting in a good way, and take advantage of all the little helps you can find, you know, marriage helps on the internet or marriage helps through your parish or diocese, and you can root your marriage in good skills, good habits, and the good grace of God. So I hope that helps you, Bethany, and thanks for listening back when you were a homeschooler and listening now to Mast Appeal for one of our former Doctor of Zen listeners. And now it's time for you to call. The number to get on today's show on this second hour is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK, and lines are open, waiting to hear from you. And now I've got a few minutes to tell some stories that I had planned to tell this week, but I got so distressed by that decision yesterday. And this was about some of the flooding that's going on in the Midwest. And people are, and it's about positive solutions to devastating problems, like being flooded. And so I laughed when I was reading the local paper. We moved our location. My husband and I downsized last month to a duplex, actually, like a townhouse. And we are in a different town, so we are getting the newspaper that the person that lived here before had paid for the prescription, and then he died, so it has still another month left. So we're getting the paper from another small town that I hadn't read in a long time. And so some of the news in there is so positive. This town is literally flooding. And so the article in the paper said, making the best out of bad news. So those of you that are regular listeners, you know I try to be an optimist about all things and think like a resurrection person. But so this family that lives near Kankakee, Illinois, they used to live a little further from that tributary to the Kankakee River, but things changed this week with all the flooding. So the man said, Robert said, we're living on an island now, and only a 3-foot path of his exposed lawn allows the family access to the modern 2-story home. The driveway is flooded, but the house is still well above water. And he said, and you can believe it, we have a basement, and it's dry. The sump pump is working hard. It just happened that a couple weeks ago I went out and bought one of those battery-operated sump pumps to back up in case. He said that his concessions to the flooding have been minor, and the family of four limits showers. They aren't using the washing machine, and they had their cars towed to a higher ground at Grace Christian Academy. He said, we've lived here 10 years and never seen anything like it, but we're making the best of it. I went to the store today to get some fishing gear. I could see some fish in the water in my backyard, and so I'm going to fish off my deck this afternoon. I thought, oh my goodness, that is one way to look at a flood positively. Go get some fishing gear and fish off your deck this afternoon, even though you can't use the toilet and the showers and the washing machine. Just move your car up and go fishing off the back deck. I like that. That's a really optimistic response. Another one I read in another area that's flooding, there was a restaurant surrounded by water for days. They've been out of business for 11 days. And so that would be devastating for someone who is expecting a summer income for boats that come to their restaurant or people that come to the restaurant if it's at the edge of the river. And that's, you know, they've been out of work 11 days because they've had to shut down the restaurant. But she said, we're getting calls all the time, and I'm taking out orders by canoe. They're taking out orders via a canoe. So the headline said, canoe, get me a burger and fries. Anyway, besides the struggles that we're facing today, there are people making good and being optimistic about the struggles that they're facing. And those were two examples of that. Okay, this is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective and a resurrection positive look at some of the problems of the day. So what's disturbing your peace? How can I help you? There's a lot of disturbing things going on right in your own family, right in your own heart sometimes, right in your own neighborhood, right in your own parish. Well, I'm here to help you. Give me a call. Line 2, 3, 4, and 6 are open at 877-573-7825. And we'll be back to talk to Teresa from Kansas on line 1 in just a moment.
Does your student dream of publishing a novel someday? Then tune in now to Homeschool Heartbeat as your host, Mike Smith, talks with author Rachel Coker, a homeschooler who published her first novel when she was just 16.
Our guest this week is Rachel Coker, a recent homeschool graduate and a writer. Her first novel was published by Zondervan when she was only 16 years old. Rachel, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be here today.
Well, Rachel, can you tell us a little bit about your family and your homeschool experience? In other words, why did your parents decide to homeschool you?
Oh, yeah, sure. It's actually a really funny story. When my mom first started homeschooling me, I guess it was like 13 years ago, she had never met any homeschoolers before, and it was my dad's idea. He thought it would be great for academic purposes. But they've homeschooled me, and I have two younger sisters, and we went all the way through K for graduate. It was just a really amazing experience. My mom and dad both learned so much, and we have a really tight family because of it. So it's been great for us.
Rachel, what did you like best about homeschooling?
I don't know. There are so many great things about homeschooling. Like, you get to go on field trips and you know, you get to do school in your pajamas. But I guess my favorite thing about homeschooling was the flexibility that it allowed, especially in my high school years when I was trying to travel and do different things. I could always take my school with me, and my mom was always there to help me out. And it just really opened up a lot of doors for me.
Well, Rachel, that's wonderful. It's encouraging to hear a good homeschooling experience. We're going to look forward to hearing more about you and your book next time. And until then, I'm Mike Smith.
Today's program was part of a longer interview. If you'd like to hear the whole thing, you can find it on our website at homeschoolheartbeat.com. And to find other programs like the one you heard today, our archives are filled with great tips on how to encourage your students' creativity and much more. So give us a try. You can find us at homeschoolheartbeat.com.
Microphone. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call now and you make the show happen. Teresa from Kansas, you're next on the line. How can I help you today, Teresa?
Hi, Colleen. So nice to talk to you. I'm so nervous, so I'm sorry. I need your friendly advice. I have six children. I've been married to my husband for 35 years. We have a great, solid relationship. Marriage is great. Been through lots of trials together. I have children that just don't practice their Catholic faith, and I feel like they're living out the dire consequences of it, and I pray constantly for them. Mm-hmm. But they're in all kinds of trouble, mm-hmm. and best-case scenario is they just kind of float around job to job, nothing permanent, nothing lasting, and nothing real in their lives, and it just breaks my heart. So besides prayer, I wondered, are there actionable things that I can do to reengage my kids? What would you tell me to do?
Okay. Well, this is a heartache for so many mothers. Teresa, whether you had six children or one or two children, their children have free wills. Adults have free wills, and they will make choices. And we live in a culture that is not the same culture of 40 and 50 years ago, where people upheld Christian principles all the time, and you respected your parents, and you worked hard, and you got a job, and you sent money home, and bought your mother presents, and obeyed the laws of marriage and nature. It just isn't that same world. And so we parents struggle when they see their children suffering the consequences of the world that they live in. It doesn't mean we shouldn't have had them, or it doesn't mean they can't come out of it. And so your prayers are the first thing, and that's why it's wonderful that you're doing that. So pray, pray, pray. But then on a practical level, we have to add some things. What can we do that our children would be open to, even though they're grown? Well, one is, do not enable them. Do not become the person who fixes every owie when they fall off their bike. What if they're making adult decisions that are totally opposed to your values, for example, making adult decisions that are opposed to the common good or opposed to their own good, do not enable or empower or accept those decisions. You could say, wow, yeah, that was a, you know, an interesting decision that you made. That's really difficult for you. I know one of my sons, when we asked him to leave home, he was 19 and he had wasn't following the rules of the house, and he had to find a place to live, and he did for a while, and he traveled for a while, and he stayed with a friend for a while. Then he started to live at the park, the state park, where in the campgrounds, because he had a tent. And he's fine there, and then one day he came home, he's like, Mom, I got a raccoon came and, you know, ate all my food and you know, ate through my tent at the park. And I said, oh, my goodness. You know, and he said, well, can I move back in? I said, no. He said, but, you know, here's how to sew your tent. And here's some food to get you through the day. And so he had known how to sew. I just had to show him how to sew something as heavy as a tent. And so instead of taking him back in and saying, oh, it's, you know, that didn't work out, just give them the help that they need to get themselves back on their feet. Like not give them money or not, you can give them, I always would offer food, but so I know they're not starving, but not celebrate or enable things that, you know, are guiding them the wrong way. It's also never too late as a parent to teach a child some kind of responsibility and virtue they maybe didn't pick up as a child or pick up as an adolescent. And just say, wow, you know, maybe they didn't finish junior college, or maybe they aren't applying for jobs that really match their educational level. You can always be an encourager. So be like a coach, like a coach would be on their sports team. Be an encourager. Hey, you know, did you think about trying this in a friendly way, not a controlling way, like you have to do that or that. Just say, hey, you're all grown up now, and I know you're going to make your own decisions, but you know, you're going to keep running into this financial problem and, you know, needing to take public transportation, never have your own car, unless you decide to finish school, for example, or you decide to, you know, work your hardest to get a better job. And if that's not happening for you, here's some tips on how to do that. Maybe volunteer at the kind of place that you want to work at and dress up like the job you want to have, even though you're a volunteer, until somebody finally says, hey, why aren't you working here? And say, oh, I got a job somewhere else. I'm just volunteering here, but I'd love to work here. You know, so give them ideas, give them little tips. And then about the faith itself, you know that their hearts were made for God. You know, Teresa, that your children are made to know, love, and serve God, or there's an emptiness inside of them. They might be distracted by the pleasures of the world at this point, or the struggles to make money, or by educational pursuits or vacational pursuits, but you know that their hearts were made for God. And so without hitting them over the head with religion, you can, as you are with them, or you see them, or you chat with them, just gently share your faith in God in some way, or some way through a struggle. You said you've been through struggles before. Just say, I don't know how I would have gotten through that, or how your father and I would have gotten through that without prayer. And then last but not least, spend time with them. Model that good marriage relationship that you say you have. Model what that is, and they'll see that, and they'll maybe want to grow in virtue or ask you questions about the faith or come back. And so invite them occasionally to come back. Hey, we're, you know, if you're in town this weekend, we're going to 5 o'clock mass. There's confessions before and we're going to dinner after. Would you like to join us? That occasional invitation, you never know when is the right day. They'll say, yeah, you're right. I've been wanting to come back to church. Or try it for Easter, like, hey, there's a penance service this week. We, you know, we want you to come to Easter Mass with us. We want the whole family there together. We're going to really try for it. And the penance service is this week. What a great time to come back to Mass on Easter. Let's all celebrate the resurrection. You know, bring your kids or your, you know, friends, and let's go to the penance service or confessions at night so we can all go to communion at Easter together. make it an invitation. You can do the same thing with Advent, you know, coming up in the fall. You know, just say, oh, I want everybody to come with us for Christmas. It would mean so much to me. You know, let's see if we can all get to confession during Advent and come back to the church. Best Christmas present. I don't need things. I need you to be full of the love of God. So lots of ideas. Try some of those, Teresa, okay?
Okay. I will do that.
Okay, and have fun with it. Don't carry it on as a burden. This is God's burden. Give it to Him. Offer it to the Blessed Mother. Offer it just as we do our daily offering through the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Their hearts ache for the love of your six children. And your children, whether they know it or not, their hearts ache for the love of God. You know that to be true, even if they're distracted by these pleasures. So pray that the Holy Spirit will show you the right opportunities that you can draw them back and be that loving example of God's love for them. And the free will choices are up to them. So try some of those ideas, Teresa, and live in peace that, you know, you've given this over to God, and God will give you some of those tasks to do His earthly part, because you're His hands and feet. But keep up those prayers, okay?
I will do it. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825. Doug from Illinois, you have a comment. I don't know if it's a minute comment, but we've got a minute. You can start now and finish later, or try it in a minute. Go ahead, Doug from Illinois on line two.
Hi, Kelly. We can get it done in a minute.
Okay, go for it.
I want to follow up on the communications and what has, you know, I think been a savior in my marriage, and it's 37 years. Is a tone of voice, and it wasn't my wife. She...
Okay, so you say it's the tone of voice that you speak
yeah.
in.
So, you know, you have to recognize when you're doing it and do something to diminish it.
To make it a loving tone of voice, huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Got that message, Doug. A loving tone of voice. Do something about it. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal after this message.
A packed Sacred Heart Church in Dearborn, Michigan was the setting for a preaching concert by Father Stan Fortuna.
Like if you say, all right, you've got 10 seconds, say it now. 10 seconds. Boil it down. You're leaving. It's finished. 10 seconds. What are you going to say?
His mercy makes everything ugly beautiful. See ya. And then I could just leave it at that. His mercy makes everything that is ugly beautiful.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting on the Mind of Christ. The attendees range from preteens to grandparents. They were gathered to hear the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal's Father Stan Fortuna preach and teach. Join us as we listen to Father Stan on the next Putting on the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3, encoring Saturday afternoons at 6 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy.
If you want to use your gifts and talent to support women and the unborn, contact the Arbor Women Pregnancy Center to volunteer. Arbor Women needs pro-life people to support, nurture, and empower women facing unexpected pregnancies. Arbor Women are in need of nurses and sonographers with a current Michigan license, as well as pregnancy and post-abortion counselors. Call the volunteer coordinator at 734-994-8863. That's 734-994-8863 to learn how you can help.
Hi, Deacon Tom here with a reminder that Ave Maria Radio has some terrific gift ideas for you. Books by our hosts and our guests, recordings on CD, and our new Wi-Fi radios so you can listen to Catholic radio anywhere in the world, anytime you want, as long as you have a Wi-Fi connection. Just go to our website and click the word store in the navigation bar at the top of the page. It's an easy way to shop, and you can help Catholic radio at the same time. The website can be found at AveMariaRadio.net.
Back to Mass Appeal. We have a half an hour left, so give us a call. Those of you in the Procrastinators Club that have been waiting to call and all the lines were jammed earlier in the show, you can get through now at 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. But before I talk to Christina from California, I want to elaborate a little bit about that last caller, about your tone of voice. That does make a difference. I just wanted to chat about that because I was thinking about that as the music was playing and we were going off. There are different tones of voices that we can, tones of voice that we can use in any of our relationships in the home, parent and child, parent to parent, husband to wife, child to child. There's mean, there's critical, there's manipulative, there's kind and patient and loving. In order to speak from the loving perspective and a loving tone of voice, it would be nice if it came from the heart of love, because as Jesus said, you know, that what springs forth from within is what comes out of your mouth. And so we want to have that love in our heart so we can speak of love to the people that we claim to love or we're commanded to love. But sometimes if our heart doesn't feel like loving, at least, as our last caller said, practicing that tone of voice will help us remember that love. So even if you're not feeling like it, if you speak to that person with the tone of love and acceptance, everybody wants to be accepted, not criticized, not yelled at. So practice that loving tone of voice while you're thinking of loving that person so you can change that heart that might be angry so it can love that person, because love motivates. Criticism does not. And if you need some examples of that, look in the scriptures. How Jesus spoke to Matthew the tax collector. How he spoke to the woman caught in adultery. You know, he's gentle, calm, go and sin no more. And to the woman at the well. Well, you've got seven husbands, and the one you're with isn't even your husband, he said. But I've got something. I've got this living water, you know, and you'll never thirst again if you drink this water. She was excited. He knew her. He understood her. He understood who she was. He loved her. He forgave her. And we can show that in our tone of voice and the way we speak to our husbands or wives. So you can't do that in a manipulative way, though, because they'll see right through that if you say, "Oh, honey, about the garbage that you haven't taken out in the last 50 years. No, but you could very lovingly accept the fact that your spouse or your child, whoever you're speaking to, doesn't have the capacity to remember to take out the garbage. And so commit yourself the next 50 weeks of the year to just say very kindly, "Oh, my goodness, it's garbage time. Please take out the garbage." And don't say it like, "I told you 20 times not to take out the garbage." You just keep saying it as nicely as you did the first time. "Your job is this." And then when they accept that you accept that, just say, "Now that you're older and more responsible, I'd like you to remember that on your own. What would it do to take you to remember on your own so I don't have to ask you to take out the garbage?" And figure out a system to help remind yourself. Set your alarm. Set it on your phone if you're a teenager. You know, put a chart on the wall or every time you go to the bathroom. Have a note on the mirror, whatever reminds you. So ask them then to take that on themselves. So we don't have to become the master of critiques or even a manipulator of the people in our lives. But out of your heart of love, love them, remind them, tell them what you need. You give love to them and practice with that tone of voice that thinks of loving that person. Your job is to love in that family. So thanks for that tip on tone of voice when we're talking to the person. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. And now, Christina from California. Welcome to the show, Christina. How can I help you today?
Hi, good morning, Kelly. I listen every week, by the way. I live in California, and I wake up.
You have to get up early to listen, Christina.
No, because I'm a morning person. I work at a hospital, and I don't know. I can go to bed at 1 in the morning, but at 5:42 every morning, God wakes me up, and I come on you first. I'm like, I need WTN. It's okay. Every morning, I mean, excuse me, every Saturday. The last two Saturdays, they had, like, women's conventions and men's conventions, so I didn't get to hear you, so I'm glad to hear you this morning.
Okay, great.
I kind of changed my question. I don't know if is that allowed or no.
Sure, surprise me.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. First of all, I'm cradle Catholic, born in the church, or everything, never leave a church. I have a 17-year-old son. He was born on 12/12, Our Lady of Guadalupe, and let's see. I got postpartum depression, and I've always had this, like, personality where everybody says, like, I'm kind of, like, the light of everything. Like, everywhere I go, like, everybody says, you're just the light to everything.
Mm-hmm. And there are people like that. They light up a room when they walk in.
That's how you are, and you taught me how to be like that. I'm just going to let you know that. Like, your voice always makes me happy every Saturday. So, anyways, I got December of 97, Andrew was born, and it was Christmas time, and it was should have been the happiest moment of my life, and I realized that there was something wrong, and I kind of got a little bit of postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the biggest Italian Catholic family. We had been the wedding at the mission in Santa Barbara, 300 people. It was wonderful. And then all of a sudden, Christina wasn't the person that was lighting up the room anymore. And they more or less were saying, oh, it's in your mind, it's in your mind, it's in your mind. Well, after, you know, a few weeks and then after the new year, I just still wasn't me. I was just crying all the time. I didn't really even want to hold my son. And so I realized, obviously, I had postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, good that you realized that, Christina.
It was horrible. Well, my mom was reading a magazine, which was Illustrated, which was crazy, and like somewhere out of very far away from California, and come to find that the doctor that wrote the article was in Thousand Oaks, California, which was only 5 miles away from where I live.
Oh, good.
So I went and I saw him, and we figured out what it was, and I was put on a medication for about 6 weeks. So I was ill in December, and I was better by Easter of the next year. And I've never taken any kind of medication ever since then. I do take blood pressure medicine, and I've been taking a little bit of anxiety medicine when needed.
Mm-hmm.
When I went to a doctor last night, and he asked me, why are you taking this medication? And I told him what happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I really don't like this kind of medication. It's kind of like a fixed medication, kind of like I don't know. It's something that some people get addicted to, but I've been
mm-hmm.
taking it
mm-hmm.
for 17 years,
mm-hmm.
only like in the case of an emergency, because I do have these like little panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off the medication that I was taking when Andrew was ill. I got off of that right away because I didn't
mm-hmm.
want to take anything long term.
Mm-hmm.
This one is only when I have those little mini panic attacks.
Mm-hmm.
But he suggested that I go back on the medication that when I was... When I had Andrew. This is my original question, by the way, so I did go turn it around.
Okay,
but,
go ahead.
I don't know, but I don't know if I should take it because you can tell on my, I can hear the music. So I'm
yeah. Okay, question. The cliffhanger.
No, no.
Should you take this medication or not? Okay, panic attacks, afraid to take your meds. All right. So we will be back with the, talking to Christina from California right after this message.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, co-publisher and editor-in-chief of the Chaldean News. It's a news magazine for the Chaldean community, about the Chaldean community, and for anyone who wants to engage the Chaldean community. As Christians from Iraq, Chaldeans are proud supporters of Ave Maria Catholic Radio. We invest many hours into this monthly news magazine to keep you invested in the community. You can subscribe or advertise today. Contact us at www.chaldeannews.com. Find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is made possible in part by our day sponsor. To celebrate the 56th wedding anniversary of Carolyn and Ron Kologi, parents of 5 girls and grandparents to 11 wonderful grandchildren, 9 of whom are boys. God's got a great sense of humor. Congratulations, Carolyn and Ron. If you want to be a day sponsor and or want to say a message for a loved one or friend, call 877-288-1077.
What responsibility does social media bear in promoting the truth?
The Catholic Catechism notes that in our modern society, the communications media plays a major role in societal information, cultural promotion, and formation. Since society has a right to information that is based on truth, justice, freedom, and solidarity, every segment of the communications culture bears a heavy responsibility for the common good. Media content within the bounds of justice and charity must be true and complete and communicated honestly and properly. The Catechism cautions us to be vigilant rather than passive consumers of information in order to resist unwholesome influences. Journalists are urged to respect the facts while still observing charity by not stooping to defamation of individuals. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And we're chatting with Christina from California. Christina, I actually had postpartum depression with my fifth child as well. So I didn't like myself. I didn't like anybody. I would walk out of adoration or walk out of Mass and hope I wouldn't see anybody so I wouldn't have to talk to them. I'd literally lost my personality. So I understand where you're coming from on that. But then the second question, do you respond to, what about your doctors and the medicine? Well, first of all, remember that you are in charge of your own health, and you make the final decision all the time whether or not you should take medicine or not. Now, if you are mentally ill, then somebody else really needs to help you decide to take that medicine, because the family of the, you know, bipolar or schizophrenic person who is not taking their medicine because they think they feel fine, that's a problem where someone has to override your personal decisions because your free will isn't that clear or healthy at that point. But a decision like this, that whether to take this certain medicine or a different medicine that does it, is always your decision. And so it's important that you get informed and talk to your doctor about why he wants you to take this certain medicine rather than another medicine. And then today's day and age with the Internet, that isn't always true, but sometimes gives us truth, with the access to alternative and complementary medicine modes, or just even a health food store, you can get a second opinion, a third opinion, bring it back to that same doctor and help him help you understand why he's recommended this, or ask him if the doctor, he or she, would monitor you as you make a change. So you, being in charge of your own health, can always make that determination as to whether or not you're going to take a particular medicine. And when we're not on medicine, when we are in our right mind and in the state of grace, we have this instinct, this gut instinct, that tells us what our body really needs or what our body really wants. And it's not the same as our craving, because we, you know, we're addicted to sugar or we crave carbs or, you know, things like that. Those are cravings. But there's an instinct in us that says, boy, you know, how pregnant women say they need, you know, pickles or ice cream. Like, maybe they're short calcium or sodium or something like that. So we have to listen to those instincts and follow those. And then, you know, check with your doctor to say, I'm really thinking that along this line, would you monitor me, or do you want me to get, you know, or maybe I'll be getting a second opinion. So check with them. And then if there are things that are distressing you, some of that stress that comes from the memories of past panic attacks or things that made you nervous before, you can take those to prayer and ask God to heal those memories. God can heal memories, even though they have created a certain terrain in our brain. You know, stay up a little about neurology and those brain pathways. There's a terrain in our brain that says, every time this happens, I'm going to panic. And so you've repeated that and made that a habit. And you can one, ask God to heal that. But two, just through behavioral science, say, when I have that thought, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to say, devil, get out of here. Or I'm going to think this other positive, happy thought. And change that terrain in your brain that's going that direction in that particular circumstance. Because God has both scientifically and spiritually given us the capacity as a human being to make changes, to improve our mental health, to improve our physical health, sometimes with medicine and sometimes just using the science that's available through psychology or through neurology, through behavioral modification. So know that we can participate in that change as well as pray for that change and ask God to heal it. So I hope those things help you, Christina.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, and stay cheery up, because
I will.
Have to express that resurrection love to others. Okay, God bless.
Okay, God bless.
Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And actually, we've got two questions coming up. I think I'm going to do the break a minute early rather than doing it 4 minutes later. So we'll go to our break now. We'll come back with Nick and George after this message.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcha.
Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst." Is Christ in the midst of your marriage? Many people say that prayer is too private to be shared with even their spouse. But how can two people who share their bodies think that there could be something wrong with sharing their spirits? Commit to praying with your spouse today. Start by thanking God for the little blessings of the day. Then ask His help with the struggles you and your mate haven't been able to sort out on your own. And don't forget to intercede for the other people in your life who need your prayers as well. When you speak your hearts out loud to God, together, you'll be amazed what God can teach you both about His plan for living your life and for loving each other. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. When Jesus says in the Beatitudes, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God," He is blessing those of us who are coherent and consistent and committed in our faith from the inside out. The commitment we have in our hearts is readily observable in our behavior. No duplicity, no hypocrisy. The Catechism of the Catholic Church says there are those who have attuned their intellects and wills to the demands of God's holiness and are pure in heart, body, and faith. No compromises, no straddling the fence. No being someone in church and someone entirely different in the world. Purity of heart is a precondition for the vision of God. Purity of heart calls us to full integration of God's kingdom in our whole lives. Are you sold out for the Lord?
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, where you can get some free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. Our next caller is Nick from Canada. Welcome to the show, Nick. How can I help you today?
Hi, how are you?
Good, Nick. How are you? Sounds like you're driving or outside somewhere, huh?
Well, I'm actually parked in my car waiting to go to work.
Okay, good. I can hear the wind. So go ahead with your question.
Sorry, I'll try to speed up that. I'm a returning Catholic, and I have never called a radio station before, ever, but I listen to your program all the time.
Thank you.
You had mentioned the whole procrastination to call, and I figured that was a sign to call. I have a terrible problem with procrastination that really has accentuated since my return, and I don't know why. I become paralyzed. And I pray
the devil
about
knows
it,
your weaknesses. The devil's mad, like, oh no, God's getting him back. I've got to do something. Let me find his weakness. Oh, procrastination, I got it.
Do you think that really, you know what's funny? I went to a priest during confession, and he had mentioned the same thing. And I don't know that that's necessarily it, but it
might or might not be, but it is a tactic that the devil uses with our memory and knowing our weakness, because evil has its own intelligence, and the devil is mentioned many, many times in the Bible. And if you've ever read the C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters, it's a fiction story of a guardian devil talking back to the head devil on how to tempt this Christian away from his conversion. And that's some of the tactics that they would use, like find their weaknesses and work there. And so that is a tactic that the devil uses. Whether or not that's working in you, that could be a tactic. So if you thought the enemy was not yourself, and otherwise you beat yourself, like, I'm so this, I'm so that, you end up putting yourself down, harming your own dignity.
That's exactly what I do.
Yep, that you're harming your own dignity, because now you realized, I am made in the image and likeness of God, and God feeds me each week in the Eucharist. He forgives me every time I go to confession. That enhances your dignity, and the devil's pretty mad about that because he thought he had you all wrapped up. And so as a returning Catholic suffering from procrastination, you want to realize, first of all, who is the enemy? You're not your own enemy. You're made in the image and likeness of God. And God has given you all the grace that you need to know Him, love Him, and serve Him. He's given you the church, the support system. And so don't beat yourself up about any failures. You take those to God and say, God, hey, I messed up today. I'm a human being, but I want to be strong like you. I want to be more like you every day. So bring that to God. Some other just general tips, too, on building that discipline, that perseverance, that diligence, you know, making your timelines. There's also all sorts of programs you can use. But remember that God's grace will build on your actions. So work with Him. Let Him work with you and through you. One is just knowing that we can't just live by our feelings. And feelings are different than instincts, like I talked to with Christina a few minutes ago. But remember that God gave you as a human being a backbone, not a wishbone. And so you stand up for that ability to make a decision. He gave you a brain, a mind that can override your feelings. So that, you know, if it feels good, do it, or don't do it unless you feel like it, that's not right. He gave you a brain higher than your heart in the priority of your body. Your brain's up at the top. So you don't wait till you feel like it. And you've heard me say, if you listen to the show, you can't feel yourself into acting better, but you can act yourself into feeling better. And so you can't wait till you feel like getting up on time or feel like eating the right kind of foods. You decide to do it because you're the main organ working in your body, according to your dignity, is your brain that's keeping everything going. So first of all, you have a backbone, not a wishbone, and you have the capacity for disciplining yourself, and God will bless you with His grace. Then as a point of honor, you know, in your own dignity, finish everything you started. You know, if you want to achieve a certain goal, this is part of one of the earlier levels of happiness, to know that I can do this through Christ who strengthens me. So set yourself a goal and, you know that you're serious about this. Share it with God. Ask Him for His help each day. Say, God, today I want to do this. And don't give yourself too much at once. Just, you know, start in steps. I'm going to do these three things today. And don't use any excuses. Excuses are wrought from the evil one, too. That's taking our laziness, our love of comfort, our weaknesses that we inherited with original sin, which could be pride, vanity, or sensuality, as St. Ignatius points out. But it looks at our weaknesses, and we want to look at God's strength, Nick, working through you, and make those things not negotiable. So set yourself deadlines. Set yourself goals. Don't listen to people who say you can't do that when you know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then another thing you have to watch out for, people sometimes get hijacked by, you know, the trivia things, the urgent that isn't important. You know, so keep focused on those things that are important. Right now you're working at self-discipline. You're working at overcoming this procrastination, and the byproduct of that will be greater success, greater respect for yourself, greater ability to practice the faith because you've lived out that virtue the best way that you can. So I hope those tips help you, Nick.
Yeah, they do. Thank you so much.
Okay. God be with you. Do your best, and God will do the rest. Okay. Thanks for the call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. Good thing I did take that break early so we can get to these other questions. Okay, let's see. We've got... My goodness. Is the show over already? No. Is that not true or not? Okay. Did we take our break already, Kai? Oh, okay. Accidentally hit the button. Okay, we got a couple minutes. So let's see. Which calls did we take? Let me see. Melissa, you have a comment about the caller earlier. And George and Phil, if I don't get to you, call back next week. So, next week's 4th of July. Call back. Melissa, you had a response to somebody else's call from the person that was depressed, Christina, that called before this?
I did. I after my first child, had a bit of a postpartum depression. I like self-diagnosed myself through this book called Depression Free Naturally, and it's by Dr. Joan Matthews Larson, and it's a whole program to kind of give you the nutrients that your body's lacking, and it helped me tremendously. If I took my vitamins, I was like happy and normal, and then if I didn't, I could tell myself, like feel myself drip, like slipping down into depression again, and so it was critical for me. Everyone's different, but then it just, that was about 12 years ago, and then just recently I started having panic attacks over this past winter, and I went back onto the nutritional program, and again, it was an amazing help to my life. So I just wanted to share just that resource, and it's actually like at healthrecovery.com. There's tons of information and tons of help, and it's very scientifically based.
Very good. Thanks for that, because you're right. It is, especially postpartum depression, it could be rooted in brain chemistry and a lack of a particular nutrient. And I found that when I had the postpartum depression, it was a nutritional supplement that literally gave me my life back as well. So if anybody needs to learn about some, check out the internet, or you can even go to my sexrespect.com website, and there's a link that says information on a nutritional supplement. I could have someone get back to you about the one that I took as well, but you're right that it's a brain chemistry. It could be hormone related, and to restore the proper nutrients to the body can sometimes bring you right back. So I'm glad you called in about that, because that certainly is what helped me as well, Melissa. Glad that it helped you too.
Thank you so much.
Okay. God bless you. Okay, so we talked about a lot of different things, and we are last two callers. I know we're not going to have time to chat anymore, so go ahead and call back. Next week, I think, is the 4th of July, and so the studio will be closed. We'll be playing one of those ones that you may have missed before on a different day, but so we won't be here live. So those of you that were left on the lines today, you can call back next week. So remember, all these things we learned today about self-discipline, about brain chemistry, about relationships, about our marriage, and about knowing the truth and spreading the truth. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal, reminding you to be Christ to others.
Mast Appeal is produced by Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at Ave Maria Radio.